Hello, I'm Michaela, and this is my podcast. Today we're going to talk about pumping, and anybody that pumps knows a good pump is key. What works for one person may not work for you. So I'm not going to recommend a pump because most of the pumps didn't work for me, and I don't want to make anybody mad. I will tell you that the pump I finally settled on is called a Kenyo, K-I-N-Y-O. I got it on Amazon, reasonably priced, and it actually works better for me than some much more expensive big name pumps. So take that information however you want. You can find online different rankings for different pumps. So, you know, that may help you sort through some information. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. Pumping is hard, especially in the beginning. And if you're exclusively pumping like I did, if you don't have a partner or, you know, somebody to help you, if you're doing it all on your own, that makes it even a little bit more difficult. But there's a couple of things that you need to remember, and that's to try to get in at least 7 pumps a day. The key to this is the amount of pumps you get in at first, not necessarily the amount of time that you pump or the time in between. It's just really important to get at least those 7 pumps in. Don't forget that prolactin levels are at their highest from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So at least one pumping during this time is ideal. And because pumping is trial and error, figuring out what works for you can be tough. Some things that you can try is setting up a schedule and using an alarm, starting a pumping journal, but above all, just consistency is the biggest key. So as far as time goes, when you're first starting out, try to do at least 15 minutes per side. I know I said at the beginning that time is not that big of a deal, and it's not. You know, you do want to get those 7 pumps in. And if you can get 7 pumps in, but you're only pumping for 10 minutes a side, then that's okay. You know, 15 minutes is ideal, but ultimately you're going to do what you can. Pumping is important even when there's no milk. It helps stimulate the nipples and encourages the ducts to start making milk. And once you have milk flowing, you should pump an extra 5 minutes past the time that you've allotted for yourself. And this can create a second letdown. But more importantly, it empties the breast and signals that you need more milk. Remember, it's supply and demand. One thing that I'd like to touch on that I think is really important is that you remember that less is more. If you start pumping and you just crank your suction right up there to 9 or 10 or however high your pump goes, it's gonna hurt and be uncomfortable, and it's gonna make you not wanna pump. So you want to start with your settings as low as possible and work your way up to what you can tolerate. If you can't put a mouth to the breast, then pump often and long enough to soften the breast, which is an indicator that the breast is empty. And even though there is obviously a physical part of pumping, the psychological aspect is just as important. So, you know, view pumping in a positive light and you'll have a better outcome. So a few things that I think are important is set your goals, sort them out, and know what your goals are. And I don't mean your long-term goal. You know, obviously your long-term goal is to start lactating, but what's your goal for the end of the week? Or what's your goal for the next 2 weeks? You know, set short-term goals to eventually get to your long-term goal. Because things are a lot easier when you accomplish those short-term goals first. And generally, that's with anything in life. But inducing lactation is complicated. No, not complicated, sorry. It's frustrating and it's a huge commitment. So if you can make each one of your little goals, before you know it, you'll be to your bigger goal. The next thing is start as soon as you can. If this is something you want to do, then do it. Just jump right in there and do it. The longer you think about whether you should do it, the longer it takes for you to get to where you want to be. So just jump right in and get started. get to know your pump. That's really important, all the different pieces that it has. Sometimes after you've been pumping for a while and you have milk flow, you'll notice a decrease in flow, and you may think that there's something going on with you. But in actuality, it could be the membrane or the ductbill for your pump, and just replacing those little parts can make a huge difference. Learn how to overcome common issues. You know, any little thing that comes up, rather than panic about what's wrong, just learn how to deal with those, and you'll be better armed going forward into the future when you know, okay, I have a clogged duct, this is what I should do. And on that subject, I learned a great hack online that I've actually used twice that's worked really well for me. There's a manual silicone breast pump on the market called a Haka, H-A-A-K-A-A, and it's amazing. I got mine at Target for $30. I hear that they're available on Amazon for a little less than that. But basically what I did, or what I learned, is you fill it up with warm salt water and you suction it on whatever breast it has the clogged duct. And you just let the suction and the hot water pull that clog out. And I've actually seen it work. It's worked on me. I've seen videos of it online. It is an amazing thing to know how to do, because everybody gets a clogged duct at least once. Find a good support group, or even, it doesn't even have to be a group, one person, somebody that you can talk to. If you're not in a relationship, or you don't have a partner that is going through this with you and you need somebody to talk to, or even if you do and you need, other people to talk to that can understand the things that you're going through, then having a good support system is going to help you immensely. I have a chat group that I belong to online, and the ladies in there are amazing, and somebody is always available. If I have a question or somebody else has a question, the problem solving or the commiserating, my nipples hurt, just all of that, to be able to voice that out to somebody and have them say, hey, mine do too. It really helps you a lot to have, those people to talk to. So find a group, or find a person, that one person that you can text or call maybe in the middle of the night and be like, dude, guess what? I just pumped out 2 ounces of milk. Having somebody to tell that to makes a huge difference. Not only do you feel good about what you did, but then you have somebody else that's validating those feelings for you, and you're on the right track. And above all, don't give up. It's a long, arduous journey, and it takes time and commitment, but my honest opinion is that it's worth it. Not only is it worth it for your health, there's so many benefits to it, but it can create so much in a relationship. So just don't give up. I also want to say briefly that you should tell your doctor that you're doing this, or you're planning on doing this, just because they need to know, if you're taking supplements, or if they send you for a breast exam, the pictures are going to look different because your milk ducts are active. So talk to your doctor about it and be prepared, because a lot of doctors may tell you that you shouldn't do it, or at your age, you can't do it, which is all a load of crap. Most doctors don't have enough information about induced lactation to even make an educated guess. So your goal in going to your doctor is to let them know you're doing it, but don't let them dissuade you from doing it. Breast massage is really important. Prior to pumping, you just want to rub in a circular motion all around the breast for about 5 minutes on each side. It just helps stimulate the ducts to get ready to start releasing milk. If you're having a problem with letdown, try warmth, a warm towel. When I first started pumping, I would use a warm towel on my breast just to try and get things going. A hot shower works. A lot of times when I'm in the shower, I'll massage my breasts and have a really good letdown. Unfortunately, it's in the shower, but it will help, you know, with relief of some pressure. And then when you get out of the shower, you'll be ready to pump. A big thing for me was not looking at the bottle or the glass or whatever you use to collect milk, because it's really frustrating wanting to see that bottle fill up and seeing a drop or two. So rather than allow that to frustrate you and create a mindset where you're never going to do this or you can't get anywhere, just don't look. One really good thing to do is to take a sock and put it over the bottle so you actually can't see what's happening in there. And then you can relax and watch television or, you know, read a book or do whatever you're going to do while you're pumping. Go your allotted time and not worry about what is collecting in the bottle, because you just want to get through the pumping session. One of the things that affects a lot of women, I had this issue, was elastic nipples. And it's where you have nipples that stretch into the flange tunnel during pumping. And this is a big deal for a lot of people. And it is for me. It continues to be something I struggle with. And what happens is that too much of the areola gets pulled into the tunnel, and this compresses the ducts and reduces flow. Sometimes it can be painful, but beyond that, it also inhibits good pumping. So draining the breast then becomes difficult because the flange puts pressure on the areola, which shouldn't be getting pulled in, and that constricts the flow. So there's a few options that you can try. The silicone Pumpin' Pals breast flange. These are flanges that are shaped differently than other flanges. They taper into a tunnel. They have really good reviews. I ordered them and they didn't work for me, but the reviews are really good and they have really high recommendations. So that is something that you can try. The shape along with the silicone material is supposed to help keep the areola from being pulled into the tunnel, which it did. It absolutely did that. The problem was maybe I ordered the wrong size because my nipple turned like a dark purple and totally freaked me out. So that wasn't a good sign. So I quit using those. But like I said, they do. I seem to be in the few that they didn't work for, because most of the reviews and recommendations are extremely positive. So, you know, you can give that a go. The Boeugen, I think that's how you say it, Beaugen, breast pump cushions. Now, these are inserts that go inside the flange, and they're supposed to optimize the flange size if you fall between sizes. They can also reduce your flange size by 2 millimeters. Now, I had just ordered these, and I got them yesterday. I have one side that is smaller than the other side. It's a half size, I guess. And so I only use it on one size, but it made such a huge difference. It doesn't hurt. My nipple doesn't turn purple, and I get a little more output than I was getting before. They're hard to get used to, and it's kind of hard to see, you know, to line up the nipple and the flange because the inserts are like a milky white, but they really helped me. So that's also something you could give a try. Now, because this is something that I still struggle with, I usually start with my pump and I pump about 15 minutes on each side, and then I finish with hand expression just because that's what works for me. Using a lubricant on the flange helps a lot. If you use the cushion inserts, you don't need a lubricant. But if you're just using the flange, I recommend that you use something. You can use coconut oil. That works really well. I use a product called Boob Ease, Boobease. It's organic and it's olive oil based. And just FYI, olive oil is naturally antibacterial. So, you know, that makes me feel good about that. But anything natural will work. You don't want to use Vaseline or anything like that. But, a good natural product. Now, once you have a supply established, you can cut back on the frequency of your pumping. But you'll need to pump longer to empty the breast. So if you're, like, if you pump at 6 o'clock in the morning and then you don't get a chance to pump again until noon, then you're going to want to pump like 30 minutes instead of 20 minutes, just because you want to make sure you get the breast empty. Just, it's common sense too. If you cut back on pumping and notice a drop in supply, add a pump or two back into your routine. So here are a few things that I've heard or read or been told that is just really bad advice. Don't put anything on your nipples. It will cause the ducts to clog. That's not true. Like I said, you know, if you use something natural and organic, there's nothing wrong with putting it on your nipples. As a matter of fact, if you put coconut oil or olive oil or, you know, something that's made for that on your nipples and then go right to a suckling session, you don't even have to wipe that off. It's, you know, unless, of course, your partner prefers not to have olive oil in their mouth, then I guess you probably should. But my point is, it's natural and it's organic and it's not going to hurt you. Another thing is, my mother told me this when I had my first child. She said, you must prep your nipples. Rub them with a towel, washcloth, or something rough, because when the baby nurses, it's going to hurt. So you want them to be ready, and you can pinch and pull them, which at the time it seemed outlandish, and now it seems outlandish. You know, there's no reason to do any of that. If somebody tells you to scrub your nipples with a loofah, tell them that they're crazy, because there's no need. You know, nursing shouldn't hurt. Initially, in the first like 30 seconds, it may feel uncomfortable while you adjust, but if your partner has a good latch and you're comfortable, there should be no pain. So don't listen to that craziness. If you have a sore breast, don't pump or suckle that side. That is also not true, because if you're sore, you know, maybe it's a clogged duct. And if it's a clogged duct, then you need to pump that side to get that out, or use the Hakai like I mentioned earlier. Either way, you should continue to pump or suckle unless it's very, very, very painful, in which case you should probably see your doctor. If it's just irritated, you know, or something like that, continue to pump and suckle, because you can also have a problem with supply. If you are not using that side, then you're going to get no supply on that side, and that's no good. You can't let someone suckle if you're sick. I just did. And if you're sick, your breast milk will develop antibodies specific to what you have. I suggest you drink it to help fight off whatever you have, but not everybody wants to do that. It'll help your partner also keep them from getting whatever it is that you've got. So that's another fallacy. You know, just because you're sick doesn't mean that you shouldn't let your partner suckle or you shouldn't pump. You know, when I was sick, I had a terrible flu. I guess it was the flu. I don't know what it was, but I felt awful. And I would pump every day, and I would drink my breast milk every day. And there's people that I know that got sick at the same time I did that are still sick. I'm fine. So I have a really good constitution, or my breast milk really helped. And I'm going to tell you honestly, I feel like my breast milk really helped. And also, just a little piece of information. Cow's milk can be dehydrating. I don't know if you've ever noticed, you've been really thirsty and you go get a big glass of milk and you just still feel thirsty. Breast milk doesn't dehydrate you. So now let's talk about a few things to increase or help with your supply. And I hear a lot of people talking about power pumping. It's not something I personally do or have I ever done, but basically what it is it's to mimic cluster feedings. Newborns feed a lot. So what you want to do is you want to mimic those cluster feedings. And basically what you do is you hook up to your pump and you pump on and off for about an hour. 20 minutes on, 10 minutes off, and then 10 minutes on. And that kind of mimics what a baby does. Oatmeal. Eat oatmeal. Real oatmeal. Not that instant gooey crap. There's no scientific research that definitively states that oatmeal helps, but I can't ignore the hundreds of women, myself included, that have had a change in supply after adding oatmeal. My own unscientific results are, I notice a 2 to 3 ounce increase on days I eat oatmeal or snack on lactation cookies. And if you eat it in the morning, you stay full longer. Hydration. Hydration will never, ever be said enough about how important it is to stay hydrated. And however you choose to do it. You know, when I pump, I get so thirsty. So I usually have a bottle of Gatorade with me. And Gatorade is my, not Gatorade, I'm sorry, Powerade. That's my go-to drink for a couple of different reasons. It's hydrating. It has potassium, magnesium, and calcium. I like it better than water. Whatever you drink to hydrate, you know, want to be consistent with your fluids. I'll give you another piece of information that I learned. In order to know if you're hydrated other than, you know, being thirsty, if you use the bathroom, your urine should be almost clear. And that means you're well hydrated. If your urine is yellow, dark yellow, close to like a tea color or any of that, that means you need more fluids. But if you're, you know, right at a real pale yellow or clear, then you're pretty hydrated. That doesn't mean you shouldn't drink more. That just means that, you know, you're doing good. Pumping parts, keep an eye on your parts. If you notice your output has decreased, and I mentioned this earlier, or it slows down, you know, just maybe you need to replace some parts, the membranes, the ductbill, you know, tubing, all of that could be an issue. So just know your pump and know the parts. Stress, that's one reason why I say don't look at the collection bottle, put a little sock over it so you can't see, because you want to be as anti-stressed as possible. You know, whatever it takes for you to relax. I use a essential oil diffuser, and I turn that on. I turn on a show that I like on TV, or I turn on some sounds of nature music, you know, and I just relax. And that's how I pump. So, you know, if you live in chaos, or, you know, the bills are due, or you're kind of freaked out, just try to take a little bit of your day to de-stress before you pump, and you'll get better results. Another thing you can try is mother's milk tea. And I mentioned that in an earlier podcast. I've not used it, but once again, there's lots of women that do and just rave about it. So, you know, especially with the winter months coming up, it can't hurt to have a glass of hot tea or two glasses of hot tea through the course of your day and see how that works for you. And if you like beer, drink a beer. One dark beer a day will help with your supply. So let's finish up with a few things that can cause you issues. Excessive caffeine. And I don't mean, you know, a cup of coffee in the morning. I mean, you know, drinking coffee 3 or 4 cups or 2 or 3 Starbucks a day. You know, excessive caffeine is going to cause you issues. Medications, they can have an effect on supply. Sudafed, that's a big one. And, you know, I've had a couple of people tell me that antihistamines slow down their supply. So just be careful with that. Birth control can impact supply. Nursing helps inhibit ovulation. And you may find occasionally that you might get hot flashes or similar types of stuff. I get hot flashes, but I think it has more to do with my age and less with, you know, my inducing. But if that does happen to you, no matter what your age, it's all perfectly normal. Your body feels like it's going through menopause, and this suppresses ovulation and allows you, you know, your body to start producing milk. Sometimes if you get your period back while you're pumping, that can decrease your supply. You can alleviate this by taking a combination of calcium and magnesium. And it actually wouldn't hurt to take those all the time, which is why I drink Powerade, because it does have those in it. 1,500 milligrams of calcium, 750 milligrams of magnesium once a day. And you should take those together, because you should never take that much calcium alone. If you're not comfortable with those amounts, you can go as low as 500 milligrams of calcium and 250 milligrams of magnesium. But like I said, you want to take them together. You never want to take them, you know, take just the calcium because it's just not good for you. Smoking or vaping, either one of those, they constrict blood flow, and so they make it harder for you to pump, not pump, but, you know, get anything productive out. If you do smoke or vape, do that 30 minutes before your pumping time, and then, you know, wait until after you're completely done pumping before you smoke or vape again. If you have any questions or you feel like something that I said maybe wasn't accurate, or even if you have a difference of opinion, you know, if something worked for you, if you use the pump and pals and it worked for you, or you use the Botin inserts and it didn't work for you, I'd really love to hear. You can email me at lovejasonwitten88@gmail.com, and I will be more than happy to discuss a topic that you suggest or look into, you know, whatever it is that you feel you need to let me know. That's our conversation for tonight. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, and have a great night.